Tonight, and tonight is going to be a growing session. This is going to be a session that I'm just going to just call growth. And we're going to talk about a word that most people just absolutely do not understand. You've heard it, you've said it, but understanding is two different things, and it's the word order. And we're going to talk about what order looks like, why it is so imperative that you and I understand order, the purpose of order, why it's important to the life that God has got or intended for us to walk in. You know that coming to Christ and acknowledging Him as Savior is the beginning of your Christianity, your Christian walk. That's not the end goal. It's also not the end goal for you to just make it in. Jesus didn't teach too much on making it in. The majority of the teachings of Christ was kingdom. And He taught more about the kingdom than He taught about any other topic. And the kingdom isn't just going to heaven. The Bible says that the kingdom is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Spirit. I know a lot of people professing to be in Christ that have no joy, no peace. They're miserable, and it's typically because there is a side of us that is working against the plan of God for our life. And so what happens is we become paralyzed in the spirit world. And it's almost to where I see this happen a lot. People either become stagnant in their faith, and stagnant people are still very loyal to church. Very loyal. How does somebody get religious? They grow in church membership and not in the spirit. Things start mattering to religious folk that do not matter to God. Jesus did not have a problem with sinners. He had a problem with the church. It was the religious spirit that was the major deterrent, so to speak, in the New Testament that was stopping the plan of God, or trying at least to stop the plan of God. They was always the ones that Jesus had the issues with. When He loses His temper, it was the religious folk. He would sit with tax collectors and sinners. The prodigal son story would have never even been shared had religious folk did not come up and say, look at him sitting with these unrighteous people. It was their judgment of him that caused him to turn around and say, let me tell you a story. Two sons. Well, the two sons was a representation of the two conditions he was sitting with. One was a failure, the younger son, the sinners. The older brother thought he did everything right was a religious folk that was judging him. He said, I'm going to give you two conditions. I'm going to put them in a parable and call them two sons. Who did the father end up celebrating? The failure. Yeah, he was closer to the kingdom because he wasn't living in self-righteousness as if he had done it all the right way so he gets some type of reward that nobody else gets from the Father. The best day that you've ever lived, you prayed all day, you fasted all day, you went to sleep like, man, I sure am Holy Ghost filled today. That day didn't separate you from your worst day. You need to understand that. And because it's not by works that you're saved, it's by grace that you're saved. And so it's, you know, to the believer, we don't fight sin. We fight faith. Our fight is not with sin. Our fight is with faith. It's believing who He's called you to be. Your issue isn't, well, man, I got this issue in my flesh. I love how Paul got religious for a second. Said, man, I got a thorn. I prayed and fasted. God came back and said, I'm not going to do nothing with it. Keep it. My grace is sufficient for this. I got that covered. That's an answer for you. And we have to understand that Paul said that he fought the good fight of faith, not the fight of sin. I know that some of us are trying to get rid of sin issues in our life, which you need to be doing that, but it does not happen by you just simply trying to whip it in your flesh. The way you whip sin is you start believing who God called you to be. Once you start staring and beholding at what Christ has called you to be, then you don't no longer have time to entertain the things of your flesh. if you listen, what does the scripture say? It says that if we walk in the Spirit, we'll deny the lust of the flesh. Amen? It does not say it in reverse, that if you deny the lust of the flesh, you're spiritual. That's what religion is. Religion focuses on just denying the lust of the flesh, and they walk around as if they're spiritual. You can do a whole day without sinning and still not be spiritual. But if you walk in the Spirit, you deny the lust of the flesh. Amen. That's good teaching. So this is the gospel. This is why Paul was persecuted, because this offended religious folks. So I'm going to get into something tonight that we need. This house needs it. And so we're going to get into it. This isn't to beat anybody up. Certainly we always preach in love and walk in grace with everybody. But this is something that's going to grow you up if you'll give it a chance. Teaching alone is nothing but an invitation to growth. What you hear doesn't grow you. What you become does. So the invitation starts now. Amen. Can everybody just say, I welcome it. Everybody say, order. We're going to get to this. Let's go to Ephesians 4 first. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. We're going to talk about order. Put this down in your notes or iPads or whatever you got. Purpose depends on order. What God has specifically called you to do depends on order. Now, when we're young, we are full of this anticipation that purpose is going to be huge and big. The older you get, your dreams start kind of diminishing a little bit because the timeline's going down. And you got history with all kinds of different things. And you start thinking differently about your future. But I'm telling you that the moment we surrender to the Holy Spirit, God made a nation in a day in the Old Testament. He made a nation in a day. God can do more with our surrender than we could ever imagine. It does not matter how, and first of all, look, before I get into this, Mother Beth, it's good to see you tonight. I miss that gaze while I'm, come on now, I'm going to preach now, Mother Beth here. I'm going, come on, Mother Beth, it's me and you. So, listen, we have to understand that our purpose is absolutely not going to come into fruition without order being present in our life. It does not matter how gifted you are, how talented you are. It doesn't matter how many people you know. It doesn't matter what doors are open right now. Sometimes God will allow doors to open to give you a taste of what could be, but that door ain't going to stay open long until your character is developed. And so there are some things that we need to look at as it pertains to order. So go to Ephesians chapter 4. I need you guys to put on your thinking hats here tonight. Get into some things. If you do not tune into our midweek virtual Bible studies, please start putting that in your calendar because we get into some real meat there. And oftentimes I'll have different pastors in the house teach and preach, and you know we got some gifted people here. So we're going to get into this. So Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 10, 12. Let's read, Pastor.
He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body.
Let's go back. Verse 11, look there. He gave some as apostles, or he called some, Greek would render it that way, that he had called some as apostles and some prophets. Some people were evangelists, some were pastors, and some were teachers. Everybody say fivefold ministry. This is very, very important, because if you're growing in Christ, you absolutely need to have contact with people that are fivefold office called people. I'm not talking about people who prophesy. I'm talking about prophets. There's a difference. They're not just somebody who edifies. Prophetic mantles, office called mantles, are different. It's not just them encouraging you out of the goodness of their heart. Prophetic people see things differently. They bear things differently. apostolic people. And I'll just go through this. You got apostles, you got prophets, you got evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, for those who don't know, that's what we call, in church terms, the fivefold ministry. And it says here, it says that these are for what? The equipping of the saints for the what? Work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So these are all key components in building up the body of Christ. So in order for you to grow into the fullness of what God has for you, you have to endure each of those offices. Now, this is important. Now, the pastor's job is a shepherd. Now, we've got it wrong in the American church because we think anybody who has a church is a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I flow in an apostolic call. That is the mandate on my life. It's always been that. I see dysfunction. I see where things have to change. That is a part, and I'm going to get into the apostolic side of this in a second. But it is possible to also bear more than one office. Some people may have an apostolic, but a shepherd's heart. I've seen that as well. I personally, when I was coming up ministry, my spiritual father was serving as a pastor, because that's the local term that we use, but he was not a pastor. Matter of fact, he'll tell you off the rip, I'm not a pastor. There's times that I could tell you right now, don't call that man on Mondays, because you ain't going to get anything nice on Mondays. That's his day off. He's going to say, what? That's how he answered the phone, what? Tuesdays is, hey, how can I help you? Monday, what? You know, he did not have the shepherd's heart. I like that, what? Powerful T, too. What? He says that he was not a pastor. And I begin to realize that the longer I served in his ministry, this man's not a shepherd. I was trying to make him a pastor because what that house needed was pastoring. Because they had set up under an apostolic guy for so long and a prophetic guy for so long. There was other sides of the body that needed to grow in other areas. And one way that we can do that as a leader, now I may not flow in an evangelistic anointing, I may not have some of the other offices, but one of the ways that we do is I bring people in who have that. Or I raise up people in the house that have that. Right? And so this is how we do this. But here's the key. You see, so an apostle, their main function is order. Paul was an apostle in the New Testament. What did Paul do all throughout his letters? Corinthians, Timothy, all of the stuff that he did, Galatians, all the stuff. He set order in the church. Always set an order. Why? He said, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this, do this. You don't do this, you don't do this, well, don't do this. Why? Because they was out of order. They experience, one of the greatest tragedies of revival is that we experience an open heaven and we don't know what to do with it. And so what happens is, like, oh my God, God is so good. And you just want to go prophesy to everybody, but you don't have the maturity yet to know when to be quiet. Because some things... Some prophetic ministry is a presence. It's not a word. Sometimes you being in the midst changes it. You talking and yapping and yapping, and God said, be quiet. I got this. I just needed you there. You're a demarcation for this moment. There's a lot to learn about the gifts, and we'll get into that maybe in another series. But the apostolic is the order. It's the one God sends in first. The word apostolic, apostle, it is a Roman term, and in the Greek it simply means sent. That's all it means. It just means sent. So when the apostles would go into the territory, they were sent by God to preach Christ in him crucified. Right? And then Paul started setting up churches, which was major because he was going to the Gentiles. The Gentiles had no concept of the Old Testament at all. If you would have brought up Moses, they'd have said, who? The Corinthian church was a hot mess. They was highly sexual. Highly sexual. There was all kinds of relationship baggage going on. But they started to experience the Holy Spirit. And they began to operate in gifts. And Paul had to go there and say, listen, keep doing this. But quit stealing. Keep doing this, but quit gossiping. Keep doing this. Stay with your wife. He had to set order, and there was all kinds of correction in Corinthians. That's why where we get the love chapter. Love is patient, kind, long-suffering. All these are, listen to the attributes of love. They're all responses to drama. Because there was drama happening in the Corinth church. So who set order? Paul. He fathered it. He had a supernatural gift to see dysfunction. Why is this important tonight? Because it is my desire, because I love you, to see you walk in your purpose. And there's no way to get, you cannot wish yourself to happiness. That's young people's thinking. They get geeked about what could be and never get mature enough to take the step to make it happen. Disciplines love Mondays. Lack of disciplines don't. Monday's terrible. Oh, man, Monday, work, getting up early, all this stuff's going on. Order is married to those moments. Because life changes on Mondays. Why? Because your feelings have nothing to do with any of it. When you're ready to change, you will have to break covenant with how you feel about things. If you keep giving an ear to the flesh, you're going to stay in the same cycle that you've always been at. And I'm telling you, time does not care. You will keep getting older and older and older and older and older to where you look in the mirror and don't recognize yourself. And you're older out here, but you're still the wounded little person in the past because you never faced what was necessary. Ouch, huh? I'm not saying this at you. This is us. Order is necessary. So purpose depends on order. So look at here. Apostles, prophets. Look at that. The prophet is the seer. Isn't it funny that God puts order before the prophetic? Because one of the things that will lengthen your ability to see a thing, one of the things that will define your ability to see a thing is order. My wife, when we first got married, y'all, she used to pick out my clothes. I was showing up to church feeling sweet. You know, my wife can dress, and it's her birthday this weekend, so we were celebrating a little bit. She would always pick it out, right? But the closet was always clean. You know, now it's not dirty. It's messy. The difference. It's clean, but it's just not organized. She refuses to go in my closet now. Refused. Why? Because she can't put anything together because she doesn't know where anything's at because there's no order. So she refuses to go in there to put anything together. So, you know, I've got to go through all this stuff and figure this stuff out and then present options. I said, it will look better when it's ironed. You know, I'm going through all this stuff. But the lack of order, see, this is one of the things. Some things you're trying to foresee about your life right now, you cannot see it. It's like you're looking into a dark hole. You're squinting. God, what is it really you're trying to show me? If you would just get some order, you would start seeing it more clearly. If you would just let God start putting first things first, you would start seeing more clearly. I love how Peter talks about in 2 Peter. I don't have time to get there. But as he was talking about things like faith, he said, add to your faith godliness, and godliness, goodness, and goodness, all this stuff. And he says, you who haven't done that have forgotten, you have been, look at that, forgiven all your sins, have been forgiven all your sins. And he said, those of you who have forgotten are short-sighted. Some of our short-sightedness is happening because of the lack of structure that we are living in our life. Now, when I say structure, I'm not talking about a clean car. I'm talking about a clean heart. I'm talking about putting things first in your life that God is trying to bring your attention to. There are certain things God is not going to allow us to skip over to get to what we want, because that step is critical in the journey that we are meant to be on. You got to learn this lesson. You have to learn this lesson. Because if you fail to learn this lesson, what you think you want is going to just make you a target, and you have no way to defend yourself because you missed over this very important thing. There's something you don't know. You skipped over it and you got where you wanted to be, but you lack what you should know here because you jumped over a necessary step. Structure is, God, what is the step I'm supposed to be making right now? You can't compare yourself to anybody else. What are you supposed to be doing right now? What is the one thing God is getting you to focus on right now? Maybe God is simply trying to get you to focus on Him right now, and you are so busy using Him to get what you think you want. And God's saying, that stuff don't matter. Focus on me. This is what I need you to get right now. This stuff, what does Scripture say? Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Seek ye first. Everybody say first things. The kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Go to Galatians 6. Here, watch this here. Did I give that to you back there, Dorian? Galatians 6. Look at here. Let's read here. Go ahead, Pastor Tim.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap.
Continue. For the one who sows.
For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life.
Look at there. Do not be deceived. For the one. No, yep. For the one who sows. No, go back up. Verse 7 there. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he'll reap. Now everybody say order. What's the difference between a forest and a garden? You can eat from both of them. There's things to eat in the forest. You can harvest from both of them. Why is it so much easier to harvest from a garden than it is a forest? They both have dirt. Order. Why is there order in the garden, though? Because there was order in the sowing. There was order in the sowing. The farmer didn't just go out there and say, see you in the next season, those seeds. That's not how that works. He puts one seed here, takes about three steps, puts another one there. Takes about three steps, puts another one there. So he's anticipating when the season comes, oh, yeah. It's time to gather the harvest. And you know what? It grows just the way you plant it. It grows just the way you plant it. The order that you sow in will be the order that you're able to reap in. Why is order important? Some of us, you know why some of us deal with anxiety? It's because you know you didn't sow in order. So you have no clue how this thing's coming back. No wonder you don't have any faith or no anticipation about what's going to happen next season. You didn't sow in order. You have to be intentional about your sowing. You got to be intentional about how you sow things. Woo! You should never start a business. Watch this. I'll give you some principles. Can I just give principles? Business owners here. Never start a business without having taken a season to serve in somebody else's dream first. Don't do it. Because you're going to reap what you sow. If you was a bad sower in that season, that's going to determine how your business takes off. You absolutely, some people start churches and they fail. Why? Because you was a terrible son in the last church. You can't be faithful in the simple stuff. I got to keep calling, where you been at? What's happening? What's going on in your life? I don't even know with some folk. Because first things ain't first. I'm not saying you can't miss church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there is certain principles that when you come to Christ, you should be living by.
That's right.
There are certain non-negotiables that when you come to Christ, you should have instilled in your thinking. Why am I blessed financially? I'm a giver. Are you a giver? Got quiet. Are you a giver? That's not the church, dude. I used to be scared to preach on this stuff because, you know, people are like, well, the church abuses that. Listen, no, no, no. You can't get blessed without talking about money. You sure don't take a job without seeing what you're making. Woo! Come on now. That'll be the last time you go to work when you find out you're making peanuts. Come on, say amen. So the reality is, so the thing is, listen, if you want to be blessed, you have to be a giver. That's how that works in the kingdom. That's how it works. We're sowing. We're not just giving money. We're giving of our time. We're giving of our resources. We're giving of our heart because we are being equipped to work the kingdom. Some of you guys don't get here till about 7 or a little bit after 7, but if you get here a little bit early, you'll see at 6:30, I got about 15 people on stage. We're all praying before service. What are they doing? They're giving. They're giving of their time. They don't have to be here early. We got a great praise team in this house. Really. We really do. Pastor Lee would not be quiet about it last week. He's like, what do I got to do to get him up there? I said, nothing. They ain't coming. I said, Doc, take that somewhere else. Matter of fact, you ain't ever coming again either. No, he'll probably be back next week. I'm just joking. That's my guy. But the reality is they're giving of their time, right? You got to always make sure you're putting seed in the ground and doing it intentionally. When I say order, intentionally. I'm not just pastor asked me to give. No, 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 no. I've decided in my heart that out of the blessing that God give me, I'm putting this aside for the work of the kingdom. I'm giving this intentionally, and God sees it. Yesterday, a quick story here. Yesterday, I was taking my wife out to Cheesecake Factory. Someone say amen for that. Come on. Woo! Don't it sound good? We had chicken piccata. Come on, somebody. Man, I could taste that lemon right now. We get there, and you know Cheesecake Factory don't take reservations, which they need to pray about that. And we walk in there, and we put a reservation. So it was like an hour, hour and a half we had to wait. So we're just Shawnee shopping and taking back stuff and, you know, her and clothes. So she's doing her thing. And I went to get a Starbucks or a coffee. I get up there. I get it. I was going through with the lady. Like, how much mint you putting in? I'm being very particular. I get up there and I ain't got my wallet. So she's like, sir. I was like, hold off on that big order I just gave you. I panicked. I went outside. Was not in the truck, y'all. I searched everywhere in the park. And I had $500 cash. I usually don't carry that much cash in my wallet. But, you know, I was taking my wife out. And so we had cash. And I'm like, man, I don't know where this wallet is. We went back, tracked everywhere, went to every place we could. Shawnee's looking crazy. I'm looking crazy. I'm like, I'm about to be. Because it's not like I can go take more money out because my wallet has all my cards in it too. So I'm like, this is about to be terrible. And honest to God, we had went back, looked at the truck twice, and Shawnee has eagle eyes. So listen, she's going to find it if it's there. And she didn't find nothing. And so we go back. I go in the mall. I'm like, man, babe, I'm really mad, you know. And when you think someone stole your wallet, you sizing everybody up. I was like, I'm like, who looked? What, that dude don't look like he shopped at Levi. Let me go in here real quick. What you getting in Levi, dude? Like, you know, it's bad. You just start, and I'm like, man, this ain't right, man. That dude ain't steal nothing. But I'm looking. I'm in like that search mode. I come up to her. I said, babe, I feel real bad. So I said, let's just go back out to the truck. So she walks down the one aisle, and I walk down the other aisle just to look one more time. And I literally prayed. And she prayed too, but it was my prayer. God answered. And sorry. I think we prayed the same thing. But I basically said, God, you have seen. So I just got, you know, I was blessed a couple weeks ago with, well, I worked for it, but it was still a blessing for it to come in the way it did. And I said, man, I could just go out and get some stuff I want. Or I could pay these bills off. And I said, Lord, I'm going to deny my flesh and take care of, I'm going to be responsible and pay this stuff off. And then, you know, don't clap. It was miserable. That was miserable, man. Don't clap. That ain't fun. That's bull. When you got a grand in your hand, you like, hallelujah. And then you left with a 50, like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's my strength. That's, that don't feel good. I was like, Lord, where are thou? So, you know, God knows the sacrifice. I was walking back like, God, you know I was doing the right thing. This little 500, I needed this, you know, make this work. And I walked back. And I'm telling y'all, I'm looking again. As I'm coming out the car, I say, babe, it's gone. Somebody jacked it. My wallet's sitting on. She says, baby. I said, what? And that baby had hope on it. When she said, baby, there was tone on it. I was like, what? I said, she said, look, somebody, it was, where was it at? On the outside of the windshield. Underneath the blade of the windshield with all the cash in it. Huh? No, it wasn't there before. And listen, man, I told her dad last night, and, you know, Mr. Parker, everything angel, he was like, it was an angel! It couldn't have been a person that picked it up and put it there, you know. But I don't know who it was, but thank you, Gabriel, and then Gabby, whoever it was. But listen, it was a miracle for me, and I just got so geeked. But it was the sacrifice. When I prayed that prayer, I'm going to tell you why I felt hope going to look for it one more time. Is because it was a sacrifice that I made in the week before that said, man, no, I did the right thing. That's seed. Yep. That's seed. God, come on, man. I need you right now. I did it, and I'm telling you, man, this, it may not mean much to nobody, but when we ordered that chicken piccata, I was like, come on, man, I want, you know, I'm telling you, I want the appetizers too. Why? Because ain't nobody touched my money. Give me that. Listen, how many, y'all remember that Eddie Murphy movie when, what movie was that where he would go and pay for stuff and didn't have the money, he had a little bug in his pocket, be like, he found that in the, he's like, look, I ain't paying for that, there was a bug in it, after he was done eating, I was about to pull one of them last night, like, babe, look, get what you want. I wasn't going to disappoint you, we was going to figure it out. I was going to tell you to go to the car and then I'll walk out by myself, but you getting something to eat on your birthday. Steal my wallet, doggone it. I'm from Flint. I'll figure out a way to make this happen. I'm just playing. Don't take me serious. But so listen, so everybody say order. Good Lord. Philippians 4, I'm going to give you one more, and then I'm going to give you another one after that. Philippians 4, 6, 7. I didn't want to lie. Got two more. Ready? So watch this. So everybody knows it. Everybody say, be anxious for nothing.
Woo. Oh boy.
What if we read that wrong? What if he's not saying don't be anxious? What if he's telling you to get anxious for nothing? What if he's telling you that your anxiousness should be to get to nothing? In other words, you're no longer tempted by anything other than where God has you. Nothing outside of this present moment in God is pulling you anymore. But look at here. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, watch this. Everybody say, by prayer and supplication. Right there. Prayer and supplication. Notice Paul makes a distinction between prayer and petition here. They're not the same thing. Petition is asking for something. Prayer is aligning yourself to something. Watch this. He's saying, with prayer and petition. Before you ever ask for a thing, you need to align yourself to a thing. How do we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, this is what prayer is, hallowed be thy name. He's holy first. And that's not. He's not telling you to repeat the words. He's trying to get you to understand that the purpose of prayer, the first thing you need to be aware of in your life is that he's holy first. That has to trump whatever you're about to ask God for. Notice that he's holy, number one. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Oh, he's already checking our impulses. Already. Why? Because this prayer is about aligning us. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he gets to the good stuff. Give me today my daily bread. Just enough for today. I've told you before, we want groceries. He's giving you a meal. Come on now. He'll set the table for today. You're going to have to depend on him for tomorrow. God will never give you a thing that it does not require trust or faith in your life to accomplish. Amen? He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So, you're anxious for nothing. We're talking about order. What is the order? Before I ask God for anything, God, I need this and I need that and I need her to pick up her phone. I need him to pick up the phone. I need this job. I need. Before you get to any of that, align yourself the proper way. Because what will happen in that is you'll start to realize that what you're asking for changes. That's the amazing thing about it. You've been begging for something you don't really want in your spirit, man. Your flesh is craving it, but once your flesh is crucified and your spirit is what you're living from, your petition changes because your prayer aligns you. What is happening? Order. First things first. We don't pray the right way. Our prayers is, Father, I just need this to happen, need this to happen. No, no, no. You're getting out of order. Align yourself to the will of God first, and then from there, let your petition be made known. And then it says, with thanksgiving. Oh, that's the real problem. That's the real problem right there. Not worry. Some of us have, we think we're praying because we're asking God for something. That's not prayer because it's attached to worry. He said, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Whew. Thanksgiving is a posture, not a holiday. Amen? Last thing. This been all right? John, let's go to John 9 here real quick. 1 through 6. And we're going to read this and then I'm going to let you go. John 9, 1 through 6.
As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?
See, that
blind?
Right there in itself preaches right there, guys. He said, as he passed by, saw a blind man. Look at, and the disciples asked him, Rabbi, which means what?
Teacher.
This is really important. The fact that so many of us do not come into the presence of God with an ear to be taught, it's stunting our growth. When we come to God, we need to have an ear inclined to his wisdom.
Yeah.
Lord, teach me, show me, Rabbi, teacher. I'm submitting, I am a disciple, I'm a student learner is what it means. I'm learning of you, teach me. So watch this, he says, Rabbi, this is what they said. Who sinned, this man or the parents, that he would be born blind? Watch here. Jesus answered, let's read.
It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him.
Man.
We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world.
Mm.
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes.
All right, everybody say, God touch. Right there. Spits on the ground, mixes his DNA with the DNA of, that we're made from. You're made from dirt. What messed us up is dirt began to turn on the things of God. Adam fell. Come on, somebody. We stopped flowing in the DNA that we was created to flow from, so we just put it back in. It's, right? Mixes it, puts it on the eyes to cure blindness. Then watch what happens. Because a touch from God is not what cures you. I need you to hear this. It's not a touch from God that cures. Watch what happens. Then he says, next verse here. Verse 7, if you got it, just read it somewhere.
And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam.
Which is translated what?
Sent.
What does the word apostle mean? What does an apostle do? Set what? Come on, somebody. First of all, he tells him, after touching him, to go and wash. What cures people? It's a touch from God married to obedience.
Yeah.
It's not just a touch from God. An altar won't fix you if you don't know what to do on Monday. Y'all hear me? Listen, when the lights are out and pastor ain't in front of you and you don't have... It's easy to serve God here because we're all wanting the same thing here, but this is a governed atmosphere. What happens when you go back to the atmosphere you're supposed to govern? It's not a touch from God that is enough. It is the obedience that's married to the touch of God. What are you doing when you leave here is going to determine what God is going to do in your world, in your life. I'm telling you, I've told you before, most people fail at the beginning stages of deliverance because they are looking for the feeling of freedom, the feeling of feeling free of something, the joy and all these things. But the beginning steps are always hell on earth. Listen, once you're out of weight, I don't know anybody ever been to the gym, and you know you ain't been there in a while, and you get on that treadmill, you're like, good God, that first 10 minutes felt like 5 miles. Why? It's the first steps towards deliverance. It's the first step. You are literally combating your flesh. You are going against everything your body is desiring. There is living organisms inside of your body that is craving sugar. There's things inside of you with an appetite for sugar. And when you're telling them no, that you are starving them. You don't know who you are until you starve a thing. Starvation will really show you what you're built of. Come on, somebody. Fasting is important because it aligns us to the spirit. It tells the flesh no. Amen, somebody. So listen, he says here, go and wash in the pool. The pool of what though? The pool of scent. The pool of order. What cures blindness is order. The reason some of you cannot see what God has been trying to get you to see over your life and you keep doing circles, because you will not let him get you in order. You are out of order in your life, and it's why you keep struggling with these things. You gotta let him set the order the right way. This wasn't about giving sight to a blind man. It was about giving order to chaos. Woo! He didn't tell him just to wash in any, this wasn't about just any water. This was a specific apostolic pool. I need you to get some order in your life. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
Whew. Order only happens when obedience takes place. Order, you can leave here and say, man, Pastor Priest, man, that was a good word. That don't matter. None of that matters. Only thing that matters is that Pastor Priest, I got some things I got to do right now. Order could be, quit calling that joker. Delete their number. Why? Because most of the temptations we deal with is because we give permission and access to things. They shouldn't have any access to us. Come on, somebody. How many got a cell phone? Guarantee it's got a block on there. Amen. Let God set the order. Pastor, I just keep messing up, keep doing the same things. It's because you do not submit to order. Let God do what he wants to do. Amen. Amen, somebody. Order is so much better as it relates to deliverance than what some of us call a miracle. What most of us call a miracle from God is a bailout. God wants us to experience the kingdom, and the kingdom has principles that work in our life. Let God set the order, man. If you can get through week one, let's start with 7 days. 7 days. Let's go. We got 7 days from here. I want you to take a second. I want you to think about, because some of y'all know where the dysfunction is. Take a second. Think about it. You know where the, don't look at nobody, but you know where the dysfunction is. Come on now. Start with 7 days. 7 days. See how you feel next Saturday when you come in the house of the Lord. Watch. Watch. Whew. Victory can gain momentum if you'll let it. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I had a lot more to get to, but I'm hungry and I'm tired. Hey, I keep it real. Mama, I know this is your first time. Listen, they didn't tell you. Did you tell her I was crazy? Okay. All right. Okay. I'm trying to set some order in my craziness. So listen, guys, I don't know what it is, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm the Holy Spirit. You know, I know what God's doing with me right now. Setting order in my life like crazy. You know, this has been a lot of times when you confront chaos, things seem to get worse at first. But listen, man, that doesn't mean order's not working. Right? Love is patient. Order is a spiritual word. Love is a spiritual word. These are God things, you know. And so, I don't know what God is doing in your life. But start with the small things and keep building. Start with the small things. Some of us need to recommit back to God. Fully. Fully saying, Lord, I'm going to start. Because I'm telling you right now, you're stopping a revival in your life every time you give access to the flesh to be able to just run wild. God really wants to show off and show his power and his might in your life in ways you would never dream. But order has to be there because he's a God of order. And so, first things first. The Holy Spirit will let you know what it is that he's dealing with you on. So tonight I want you to just bow your head. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for